Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. Joining us once again for the conversation, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, as always, it's great to be with you. Thank you for dropping by on this Thursday and for spending some time today with our listeners and our clients.
Thanks, Dan. Good to be with you.
So a few topics we want to catch our listeners up on for this week. We have, of course, entered the month of June, which means the Supreme Court will be issuing rulings. There's a lot there to keep an eye on. So what's on your radar, Shane?
Yeah, a number of big cases, you know, from ranging from things that deal with taxes to guns, you know, abortion and abortion-related issues was actually just ruled on. There was a case that the court found that anti-abortion doctors who questioned the FDA's easing of access to the pill did not have legal standing to sue. So this was a unanimous decision, essentially allowing access to abortion pills. I think Republicans, to some degree, are pleased to see this ruling and it not be a controversial ruling, as this would have brought up abortion, which is not a winning issue right now for them in the polls. I mentioned taxes. You know, there is a under-the-radar case, Moore versus the United States, that, you know, has to do with the 2017 tax law regarding taxes on unrealized gains and could potentially have some big ramifications for our tax code. So very interested to see how that plays out. I think the next few weeks will be interesting to pay attention to the Supreme Court rulings and, you know, see if they, you know, spur in Congress to any action or if it just, you know, frustrates voters and pushes them in one direction or another when it comes to the elections this fall.
I do want to turn next door to Capitol Hill. I understand that former President Trump paid a visit to the Hill. Any insight into the nature of the visit?
Yeah, that's right. So this is happening actually, I think right now, Thursday morning. And, you know, as of this point, you know, there's a lot of interest of who was attending, who would go. You know, some lawmakers who, you know, essentially voted to impeach or convict former President Trump are attending. Some others are not. I believe Senator Mitt Romney is catching a flight home and will miss. But, you know, I think sometimes, you know, as we talked in the past, we make more about these things than there really is. I think to some degree, this is a unity meeting. You know, Senator Mitch McConnell is there and to try and rally the troops, if you will, and show unity to former President Trump. Often in, you know, a big presidential race, the party is stronger when there is unity. You know, if they are disjointed and everyone's sniping at each other, that will hurt their electoral chances. Now, obviously, some smaller candidates will run their own individual races and not be tied to former President Trump. But as a whole, I think this is really about, you know, building that team mentality and trying to show not only American voters, but themselves, the elected officials, that they are, in fact, on the same page overall and to try and, you know, quell the infighting that we're actually seeing fairly regularly in the Republican Party right now.
With that all in mind, it's important to note that primary elections are wrapping up. Where do things stand at the moment for the upcoming election in November? Do you have a pulse on what polls are telling us?
Yeah. So, well, first, remember, you know, primary elections, you know, for the presidential race are done. And, you know, President Biden and former President Trump have, you know, essentially won their party's nomination. That process will be completed when they have their conventions in July and August. Senate races, I think Republicans are quite pleased in a lot of their Senate primaries. You know, just this week in Nevada, they chose a former military serviceman named Sam Brown to be their nominee, who is their preferred candidate, who Republicans believe gives them the best chance to win. On the House side, most of the primaries are over. We have a few left. But Republicans saw, Congresswoman Nancy Mace, who used to be a ardent opponent of former President Trump, but now is on Team Trump, if you will. She won her primary in South Carolina. I think very interested to see how some of the New York primaries play out on the 26th this month. Most notably, Democrat Congressman Jamal Bowman, who is facing a stiff primary challenge from a more centrist Democrat. I believe his name is George Latimer. Jamal Bowman is mostly being challenged for his views on Israel, and even former Secretary of State First Lady Hillary Clinton came out and endorsed Jamal Bowman's primary opponent. So this is dividing Democrats, and we'll see how that goes. But to your point, this is all locking in the races for the fall. You know, sometimes it's tough to really prognosticate the elections when you don't even know who is actually going to be on the ballot, right? So we're starting to see that really foment right now and get locked in. So I think polling will start, taking a lot more shape. I think recent polling on the top of the ticket has shown that the convictions of former President Trump have impacted his standing a little bit. So President Biden has gotten a little bit of a boost in recent polling. But, obviously there's still a ways to go. And, I think, as I've probably said before, if the election was held today, President Trump would probably be elected. But, with the trend heading a little bit towards Biden, you cannot rule Biden out at this point. As I mentioned, Republicans had some good Senate primary elections, so I think they're excited. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they'll take the Senate. I think they're headed in that direction. But I would note that, Democrats themselves have some of their strongest candidates in the toss-up states, like Senator John Tester in Montana and Senator Sherrod Brown in Ohio. And I recently saw some polling that had Sherrod Brown in a good position to possibly retain his seat in the Senate. So this is all fluid. I think we're going to have a very close election this fall, and that's where we're heading right now.
Well, it is hard to believe that the November election's roughly 5 months away, and we, of course, will continue to keep our listeners and our clients informed along the way. Though, thank you, Shane, for that update. Perhaps as we close out, we can end on the lighter side of things. I know last night was the congressional baseball game. Can you provide our listeners, our clients, a bit of background context about this annual tradition?
Yeah, this is a fun event in D.C. and a tradition that I think is important to kind of keeping ourselves bipartisan when we can be. This baseball game is a charity event. It's happened for over the past 100 years. Obviously, there's been some years off for COVID, war, et cetera. But it's a tradition that has been pretty strong. And, Republicans won last night, big win. I think it was 31-11. And this was, I think, their fourth win in a row. However, before that, Democrats had a very good streak for almost a decade when they had, at that point, Congressman Cedric Richmond as their pitcher, who actually pitched in the minor leagues at one point. So, this is a fun game. And before that, actually, Republicans were dominant with former NFL star Steve Largent pitching. So, the pendulum swings here, but it's a fun atmosphere. You see thousands of staffers from across the aisle having a good time. They raise money for charity. So it's one of those traditions that, I think is more meaningful than we actually appreciate. I'm pleased to see that the tradition continues.
Definitely, as a fan of the game, it's great to see our elected officials on the lighter side taking it a bit easier and enjoying some camaraderie amongst one another. So that's great. Shane, as always, thank you very much for the insights covering the ground for our listeners, our clients that you did, and do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
Thanks, Dan, for having me. And, you know, for once, it was fun not to talk about the Mets.
Still plenty of baseball ahead of us. That's the good news. Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Before we close out, I do want to remind our listeners, our clients, you can now locate the latest Washington Weekly publication up on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.